Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We've got some climatology. I remember I was going to actually bring this up last week, but there's been just too many other things that have kind of popped up to go, we got to cover that first. So after covering some of those things first, I think it's time that we kind of talk a little bit about some climatology. So we'll do that when we come back after the break. But I do want to let you know that today we're going to really focus on what we call marketing. So here's the things that are going on. And the question is, what is it going to take to get you going and getting you involved? Because this isn't going to happen. We're not going to save our Constitution. We're on a course, and the globalists have a plan. They're executing their plan. And the only way we're going to be able to sidestep any part of that plan is if we actually take action and undo some of the things that they have created. It's kind of like abutments or walls or so forth. And even though these walls are walls of, you know, like a house of cards, they're facades, until we actually knock them down. And the only process that will knock these walls down, knock this entire house of cards down, is Republic Review. If you are hoping for a solution to Agenda 21, if you're hoping for a solution against all, you know, these caravans, illegal immigration, abortion, and the fact that the federal government is mandating all sorts of immoral things, whether it be the transgender agenda, or I should say the federal government, because it's not just the court. It is both the White House over the course of the past few tenets, as well as the Congress, as well as the Supreme Court. So, what is it going to take to get you to actually invest a little bit of time and a little bit of effort in getting this solution moving? If you do not believe that this solution will work, then contact me, reach out, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will also tell you that this show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. And this is the only show that actually talks about the solution, what it takes, what we need to do, and so forth. So info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, there is a phone line. So if you're out and about and you can't listen to this show, or maybe there's another Red State Talk radio show that you want to hear as well, 605-562-4209. That is the direct dial-in number, so that you can actually just dial in and listen as you're driving along. And you can make it seem like you're actually talking to somebody if you want to, you know, talk back or what have you. there's plenty of times when I have choice things to say when I listen to people, especially when I hear people espousing idiotic ideas or saying the stupidest things. And so 605-562-4209, that is the listen number. Now, we do have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Red State Coffee. They offer grinds and beans. They are selling this with free shipping. You can get it from eBay, and if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can have a direct link that'll take you to that page so that you can buy Red State Coffee. In buying Red State Coffee, you're actually supporting, obviously, the one effort out there that is trying to save the Constitution. So we would be honored if you would give this a try. And I will tell you that it is probably the best tasting coffee that you'll have. It is the source of this coffee is the same source that most people rave about. So give it a try. you may be paying just a little bit more for the coffee, but I'm telling you, you are supporting an awesome cause. And what you're doing is helping us cover and help subsidize what we're doing. And if you're buying coffee already, let me just say this. When you buy crap that comes from China just because it's cheap, because it's cheaper than the other product that you may have to buy, you know, the American made or what have you, what you're doing is you're helping subsidize the military effort in trying to knock America off the peg, because that's what happens when you buy products made from China. There's a lot of companies out there, and I'll give you an example. Klipsch Speakers out of Hope, Arkansas. They used to make great speakers. They have very few speakers that they manufacture anymore that's made in America. Only, I think it's called their Heritage line, their old stuff. Almost everything brand new, if you go and look at the pictures that they have on their website, it's all made in China. So guess what? I won't buy Klipsch speakers. If a company is manufacturing in China, I do everything I can not to buy that product. My wife and I bought some lawn furniture. We bought some teak, and we happened to go out of our way to make sure that that furniture was not made in China. It was made in Thailand. You know, there's stuff that's being made in Vietnam. Don't forget, Vietnam is still a communist country. We need to be supporting free countries. I don't care what anybody says about Vietnam. It is still a communist country, and they don't deserve an American penny. And if you're buying crap that's coming from communist countries, you're just supporting, directly supporting, communism and the oppression of their people, because it is all ran by the state. Every bit of production, everything, it's all done by the state. So with that, let me just kind of move forward. There are other ways you can support, and one of those ways is just getting involved. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and let me know what you can do and how you can help. Even if you live in a blue state, there are ways you can help. And so I would highly encourage, because I'll even say this, blue states are usually heavily populated states, and there are things you can be doing in a blue state that would be a huge help. Because if it's a heavily populated state, that means that there's still a lot of conservatives. Look at California. There are probably more Republicans in California than a lot of states combined, just because it's that heavily populated. I mean, even, let's just round it up and say they got 60 million. And even if it was 2/3 of the entire state is Republican, that's 20 million. How many states would that make up? It'd probably make up Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, the Dakotas, Montana, and several other states. That's how many people are in these blue states. So if you're in a blue state and you hear me say, well, you know, your state is lost, but the only way we can save your state is by focusing your state in supporting these red states. So there's ways you can help. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Let me know where you are. Yeah, I don't need to know your street address. I don't need to know your phone number unless you want to have, you know, that type of contact. But just send me an email. Let me know where you are, what you can do, and we will start working with you. Or we can help you identify some things that you might be able to do that would be a huge impact on the effort. It's all about working together. That's what leaders do. Leaders unite, and they build upon the core principles to work for a common cause to solve a problem. So, if you want to, probably tomorrow or Friday, I am going to do a little bit of examination on a letter, an email that I got, I believe was from a listener. And we're going to talk about Islam and some of the history, right, wrong, or indifferent, and how things have come out over the course of the existence of what we call Islam, since Muhammad and forward. So with that, let me just kind of put it out there. If you're doing something for Constitution Day, let us know. If you've got, a dealership or somebody that is going to be handing out constitutions for Constitution Day or Constitution Week, let us know. Like I said earlier this week, we will help promote those businesses to say, hey, if you live in this area, go down and check out the dealership here or what have you. It'd be a pretty sad day if somebody actually went to Dodge, Ford, Chevy, GM, and the American car dealerships, and not one of them would want to do it. And then you go to a Toyota and or a Honda, and those guys are all on board and they want to do it. That'd be a pretty sad day, but I think that that's how we can start flushing these things out. And if you run into that type of stuff, let me know, because we kind of want to call those dealerships out. I would be happy to hear, because I'll tell you, in the Spokane area, there's a Dishman Dodge that I tried to get them to try to do something for Constitution Day a couple of years ago, and they didn't want to get involved in politics like that. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. How's the Constitution politics? Really? So we'd be happy to out and, you know, help those other businesses that are actually supporting patriotic causes, because that's what we need. We need to encourage these businesses to do good things, to do the right. Just like Wendy's is supporting the adoption efforts, $500,000 for adoptions and so forth. So when we come back, I am going to cover the climatology stuff. But I also want to let you know that I did scan the news, and there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what that means is we're going to have to do it. So when we get back, we're going to be talking about what we need to do, and we're also going to be talking about some of these insane things that are going on that we've just got to raise up the flag and go, stop, this is just BS. So we'll be right back after a couple promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so, like I promised, and I mentioned this last week, that there was some climatology in the news. And it's called climatology because it's a religion. And because it's a religion, we want to try to, you know, cast that mood or help, you know, kind of set that mood. And so I had found this song. And so every time I want to lead into climatology, I want to play the song. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've asked the agent for Edgar Winter to, you know, get an interview with him, because I'd really like to find out if Edgar is still, is he still happy with that song? Does he really think that we need to save the planet? Because, I mean, it's been a long time, and it seems like the planet has been able to thrive really well and do all. Every time Mother Nature and even mankind throws curves, we get into a boom of, of bumper crops, productivity, or what have you. And a good example of that is Mount St. Helens. If you remember, it erupted and it did all this damage with putting ash all over. And they anticipated that the wheat fields in western or eastern Washington and the other crops that were kind of buried as you head east, because that's the prevailing winds, it dumped all this ash in the eastern direction from Mount St. Helens. And they said, oh, this is not going to be good. And then all of a sudden, they had these bumper crops of wheat and so forth that was coming out because it was so the ash was so rich with some of the minerals that are necessary for crop production that people go, oh. And I am telling you that when it comes to mankind putting particulates in the air, we don't even scratch the surface compared to what volcanoes do. Even historically, since man has been alive, I don't think we've come close to doing the damage to the air and everything else as Mother Nature has done. But with that, let's kind of lead it off right here with this. And so here we go. Who will save my planet? Who will volunteer? Oh, yeah. All right, so who doesn't love our planet, right? I mean, doesn't that get you in the mood? So climatology here. There was an announcement because of the, I believe it was the warming of the water in, and I'm pretty sure it was the Gulf of Mexico, that they were talking about the ocean's food chain could collapse because of this little bay area that we call the Gulf of Mexico. And it's just how quickly they ran to hysteria when they realized, oh, the water is getting so warm, just like around the Galapagos. The water is just so warm there that there is really nothing that, grows for the fish, algae and that type of stuff. Algae really thrives in cold water compared to hot water, warm water. And so they were saying that the temperatures there in the Gulf were at a level where food production or, for plankton and that type of thing were just gone. And so they were trying to make this huge leap that this one small event was going to kill the entire food chain in the ocean. Because the Gulf of Mexico is not an ocean. It's just like a big, huge bay. And that's how they react. That's how they try to get people to go, oh my gosh, create hysteria. Now, I've always said this since the 90s when they really started ratcheting up this once again, because I grew up when climatology was reinvented again. And this goes all the way back because they talked about climate change and climatology type of things back in Aristotle's day. This isn't new. And so as we were going into the 90s and Al Gore into the 2000s, we started really ratcheting up this whole climatology and that the earth has a fever. What do you do? And I basically made the assessment that if we do not start holding these people accountable, in other words, if you're a politician and you're trying to influence people, you are a star. You are somebody that has influence, like Sean Penn. Whether he's an idiot or not, he still gets behind a microphone and people listen because they're starstruck. And it's not like this guy's a doctor. Even if you have a doctorate in science, if you start making predictions, like, this, like religious leaders that say the earth is going to, going to come to an end on a certain day, and that doesn't happen, then I honestly believe you ought to be charged. And I believe that if anybody puts it out there, especially a politician, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to use hysteria to gain votes and get people behind them. And as far as I'm concerned, it's wrong. It's evil. It is nefarious machinations. These are designs of people to try to get people to move. And so I honestly think that we need to have a law, or we need to at least be able to prosecute these people for false prophecy. It's one thing to say, you know, and then all of a sudden, if you're going to prophesy, then you're going to think twice about trying to tell people that the world's going to come to an end, or that, you know, the earth will no longer be habitable by mankind in 12 years. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to remember that. And in 12 years, if we actually have more people inhabiting it, and it doesn't look really, you know, things look good and we continue moving forward, we'll be dragging you through the mud in a court process and holding you accountable. Especially if you were actually able to swing to get yourself voted for and so forth. I truly believe there needs to be consequences to people trying to use hysteria and hyperbole in getting people to react. I think it's immoral and I think it's wrong. In addition, Mount Cinnabung erupted as a seven, with, you know, when it erupted last, I think it was last week, it had a 7-kilometer plume of ash and smoke that rose in the air. And why is it that the climatologists, and so because I led off with volcanoes, I wanted to talk about that Cinnabung's eruption, talking about all the particulates it put in the air, why are the climatologists not protesting volcanoes? Huh? Any idea? Because that has a huge impact. You could sit over Indonesia, you could sit over the Pacific Northwest and watch and watch and measure the crap that comes into the sky from, you know, the factories and everything else. And it would take a long, 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 long time. I don't even think we've been there yet to measure the amount of particulates that come out of a volcano in contrast. It is that dramatic, my friends. We're talking about tonnage. And so, again, it just shows how indifferent and how impartial, or I should say how biased climatologists really are, because they always want to focus on man, but they don't want to focus on the volcanoes and that core that is churning and causing those 45,000 shield volcanoes at the bottom of the ocean that are venting always, constantly, and that their venting has increased. Why is it the climatologists aren't going down to the bottom of the ocean to try to plug those things up? And that's how insane this is. Anyway, let me move into a different perspective. If you haven't heard, there was some a glacier park up in Montana that has had signs that basically said by 2020 that these hurry up and get up here because these glaciers are going to be disappear by 2020. And so that did not happen. And as a matter of fact, every sign that was up there, the park rangers actually went down and tore them all down because they realized, well, this isn't working. Some, and I think I mentioned this last week, some of these glaciers, I may not have said this, I may have had a conversation with somebody, but some of these glaciers may have shrunk, but some of these glaciers have actually been growing. And the reason is because of the prevailing winds have changed. And the prevailing winds have changed because the ocean temperatures have changed and have driven weather in different directions. Now, G. Edward Griffin, from his Need to Know News, also said this, that because there was a poll about would you be willing to pay for fixing the climate. Most Americans are willing to spend $1 each month, that's $12 a year, to help fight climate change. Now, add, you know, $12 or just a dollar a month, right? And we got 330 million people. So let's just say they get $1 a month for that's 330 million people or dollars in a month. Times that by 12. That's a lot of money, my friends. That's a lot of money when you look at the big number that, you know, would be exponentially, you know, added to that, $1 by 330 million people. So Anyway, but they draw the line at $10. So we might actually be able to squeeze $5 out of people, and that would even be a huge amount of money. A huge amount. Five, that's more than $1 billion a month people would be paying just to help fight climate change. The Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research poll found that 50% of Americans would vote for a $1 fee added to their monthly electrical bill to combat climate change. But only 28% would agree to pay the additional $10 a month. The poll shows that global warming is a low priority for most Americans, despite leftist false claims that the global warming would destroy the planet in 12 years. And so there we go. We got to close on climatology. When we come back, we'll have some more news from the Need to Know News. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Now, one of the things that's kind of been a hot topic since the 90s, when Bill Clinton came out with his Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Now, here's the interesting thing. That was Clinton doing that. Where was Congress with the Republicans in Congress? Where were they in trying to stand up and stopping that? How come the Republicans in Congress didn't oppose that to say, nope, homosexuality, if you're in the military, you need to be kicked out because that is a violation of the moral clause, or the morality clause, or what have you, whatever. The point I'm trying to make is that Congress voted this week, if not today, that they were not going to support and they were going to force this the allowance of transgenders to get into the military. So in other words, let's say you're broke. Let's say you're coming out of school and you've been perverted by the godless secular indoctrination center, and you believe that you're trapped, you know, you're some boy trapped in a girl's body or vice versa, and you know what? You can't afford that sexual gender change surgery and the medication and all those things. I mean, you just don't have the money. Well, then
you should go into the military so that they can be the ones that have to pay for all of that. Are you kidding me? The military has a very specific mission. Its mission is not to help those that feel they're trapped in one gender and they actually know or believe somehow they've got this epiphany that they're the opposite gender. Are you kidding me? That it's the job of the military and the U.S. taxpayer to pay for these things? If you understand, because I've made this correlation before, if you understand what is happening regarding abortions, what is happening regarding free health care, we, the American people, are picking up the tab to remove the consequences of sin, and we're actually supporting and empowering sin. Now, gotta love these people, right? They're all, you know, they're all children. You know, we're all brothers and sisters from our Creator. We are all related. But we are not accountable, nor are we responsible to empower them. What we should be doing is we should actually be far more active in taking and rooting out the education, you know, the curriculum in the education system. And the best way to do that, my friends, is guess what? No, it's not going and voting for better school board people. No, it's not voting for, you know, another president. It's voting for state legislators who are willing to call for republic review to remove the federal government's grip on the education system that is creating this paradigm. And it is a dangerous and evil paradigm. We should have, I mean, there has to be a conscientious objection. In the military, you used to be able to become a conscientious objector and get out. There has to be a conscientious objection to government. Government has never been empowered to do these things. This is all unconstitutional. And the constitutional objection to all of this evil is republic review. I hope you understand this. That is the action to basically purge unconstitutional government. It's really that simple. They shouldn't be doing it. They're destroying us. And this is just another tentacle that is reaching out and doing so much damage to us that we are going to capitulate. And you know what? These kids that, you know, are coming out of this indoctrination center, they find that global communism is far better than living the life of liberty in the United States. That is how evil their sinister indoctrination centers are. These kids are foaming at the mouth, like I've said many times. They are weaponized voters that are willing to throw away liberty because they have been taught, and they believe what they've been taught is the best for them. And that is how powerful the education system is. And I highly recommend that you get with Alex Newman. And I'm going to check real quick because I believe on reclaimingtherepublic.org, I believe if you go to my Red State podcast page, that towards the bottom, you will find demographic facts on education. So you can go there. And what I am going to do is I am going to put Alex Newman's information up there so that you can actually, you know, see where he's speaking, because he's coming to a town near you this summer. I want you to go see what he has to say, because he is pointing to the exact same things I am, just how bad the education, but that's only just the education. That doesn't stop the energy department. That doesn't stop the Department of Interior. That doesn't stop the Agenda 21 crap. There are so many different things that are being rammed down our throat. And what are we going to do to stop it? There is only one thing that stops it all, and that's republic review. That is initiating the audit, identifying all the unconstitutional government, all the things that they've usurped or assumed unconstitutionally. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all got to go. You wouldn't allow your employer to do things to you that are well outside your contract. Or better yet, as an employer, you would not let your employees do things to you that would actually destroy your company. We honor our contracts. We honor our covenants. And if you understand what a contract is, it's just another word for a covenant. Now, let me also point out this, because this is kind of coming up and, you know, Meghan McCain is in the news. And I often think of nepotism and these saps. And what's a sap? A sap is something that kind of oozes from a tree that is not necessarily the tree itself, but it's kind of sticky because it bears the same name, but it doesn't have the same substance. And so we have to start recognizing nepotism, and we need to be very, very careful. And we have to have a very good vetting process to make sure that when somebody wants to get into the political forum, you know, like Meghan McCain or Chelsea Clinton, or how about the mustache girls that we call the Obama kids, right? Or how about Trump's kids even. We can't limit it to just one. We have to make sure, because I can tell you, look at Bush. Look at the Bush boys. They followed the same line as Bush Sr. They were globalists. These guys were not good guys. And one of them became president again. We have to really hold a very hard and tight line in protecting ourselves from nepotism. Let's not let aristocracy or some monarchy type of thing continue to push us in the wrong directions. I think it is very critical that we start taking a very critical eye and have a very objective way of thinking when we look at these kids. Are they really the same? Because they probably aren't. And as a matter of fact, you know, if they are, then they're just as evil or bad, because 9 times out of 10, you know, I've yet to find a family of recent years in politics where their kids or even themselves are worth it. I kind of err on the idea of William F. Buckley. We just need to start going to the phone book and finding people. Just open up the Boston phone book and take any name at random. And that person would probably be a far better servant than the people that we've got, especially those people that are seeking power because they've been eating at that altar all their lives. And that's what I'm talking about with kids. These kids, nepotism, they've seen it, they've been there, and they already know all of those people. Even Cheney, Liz Cheney, that's nepotism right there. And we need to really start, you know, identifying and calling this out. One of the things is kind of interesting because it came out in the news, these tanker explosions, they're now finding evidence. Now, do we know the chain of custody, the standards of the investigation and so forth? Because last week, I believe, the Japan CEO of the tanker company, that one of his tankers was blown up, he pointed out that the burst was above water. So how did the mine get up there? I think there needs to be a full and honest, I'd love to see two sides of this position, you know, go in and do the analysis and then put it to, you know, just like a defense and prosecutor, put the case in front of the people. Don't just get up there and brief a one-way brief to tell us we've got to do this. I honestly believe that if we're going to have open and honest journalism, we have to start refuting what we're being told either by the administration or as well as the news itself, because the news is so biased, we know that they're just cooking agendas up and ramming them down our throats because they know better than we do. I mean, they know what's good for us and we have to listen to them, right? No, we don't have to. And the best way to do that is to start actually refuting and having a, you know, contrast and comparison type of analysis. So we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so one of the things I didn't lead into today, because I knew this was going to create a tirade, I'm going to go down a tangent here. So I didn't lead off when I did my monologue or my introduction, Happy Juneteenth Day. And it's also known as Juneteenth Independence or Freedom Day. Today is the day, and it's considered an American holiday that commemorates June 19th, 1865, the announcement of the abolition of slavery in the United States, the U.S. state of Texas more specifically, and more generally, the emancipation of enslaved African Americans throughout the former Confederate States of America. Now, I want to tell you something, because this kind of comes up and so forth, and most people do not understand this. But I am here to tell you that when there is a shedding of blood for a righteous cause, that is how things are sanctified. And as a matter of fact, if you understand the law of sacrifice, where, you know, the first perfect lamb that is born in the season, you're supposed to sacrifice that lamb if you're of the house of Israel. That went all the way back to Adam. And that whole concept of that blood sacrifice was to sanctify, you know, at that point in time for sin. It was the fulfillment of that law was, of course, the atonement of Christ. Now, why am I talking about all this religion and Christianity? Because if you understand slavery, slavery was emancipated twice. There were two catalysts in the history of mankind that was done by the shedding of blood. The first one was by the hand of God. The second one was by mortal men who, I will say, had done everything they could that in trying to emancipate so that all men and all races, kindreds and tongues, whatever you want to call it, in America could be free. Unfortunately, we kind of screwed up and we didn't get and take care of the Indians or Native Americans, if you want to be politically correct. I don't care. But we shed blood in, and this was our bloodiest war we have ever fought. And it was so bad because Lincoln was doing the wrong thing. If you do the math or you look at the war, he was trying to protect himself. I've talked about this a lot. He was trying to protect his presidency and his image in trying to keep the South from seceding. He had no business trying to keep the South because states can't secede. There's no such thing as you are committed, you are a slave to this union. You can walk away when the contract is being violated. You have every right. Madison even said this, and the framers talked a lot about this, that they could secede. So the point is that we fought slavery and emancipated it, and God actually in Israel killed, if you remember, the one thing that convinced the Pharaoh to let Israel go was because he lost his son because of the destroying angel, right? Passover. And so, if you understand how the shedding of blood is a process of sanctifying something. So this nation was sanctified twice, once in the Revolutionary War and the second time for liberty. And we were sanctified again for liberty for all different in all races and kindreds and tongues, supposedly, by the Emancipation Proclamation and the shedding of blood for the Civil War. So all that being said, and today being the day of the emancipation where all people were free as of June 19th, 1865, well, it's just interesting that they were talking about reparations in Congress today. And it's interesting how they are demanding reparations to the Black Americans for slavery. And this is the very divisive argument and pandering to opportunists who want to get, you know, just a little bit of, you know, a little bit of bones into their wallet so that they can, you know, get ahead. And that'll never end. It will never end. Most, as a matter of fact, Frederick Douglass basically said, we don't want your reparations. We don't want your Reconstruction. Let us be free. Now, there should have probably been more of an effort like what Monroe was doing with Monrovia and getting freemen back to Liberia. Maybe there should have been more efforts in doing that. But you got to understand that the federal government was broke and they didn't have money to start, you know, shipping people free at, you know, at their own expense, or I should say at the government's expense, to send them to Liberia so that they would have an opportunity for a real free life and get away from the potential of racism and those types of things. And had that happened, had there been a big mass exodus of blacks that left America to go back to Liberia, I think America would have been really hurt far more, because there was a need for labor, but it just seems like people always try to take advantage. And so I've yet to sit in a room when somebody talks about buying a car, how they let the dealer take it to them. As a matter of fact, more people, when they want to talk about bragging about a deal they've made, they always brag about how they were able to take advantage of this, this, and this. I get it. That's the, you know, I got out ahead. And that's the atypical type of bragging that people do. And so that's really what's going on here, is that self-serving, that paradigm of, you know, I benefited from my own, you know, smarts or what have you. If you understand the need of the labor force that was producing things both in the South and throughout America, if all of a sudden a few million former slaves, freemen, got on boats and actually would have gone back to Liberia, America would have been really hurt in the labor market, because who would have been available to do that work? It would have forced us down a different paradigm, and it would have forced us into a level of austerity that most people probably couldn't even fathom. But the fact of the matter is that what happened was the Reconstruction created this paradigm of entitlements and handouts. And then when that ended, that did more damage than good. Because what ended up happening was it kept people in place instead of allowing them to move freely to where the markets could really, you know, absorb them, whether that be in Indianapolis or I should say up in Indiana, Chicago, and throughout the United States, or even into the West, into developing Western cities and so forth. What happened with the Reconstruction? And if you look at what happened with that, because that was a form of reparations. And it wasn't good because it actually hurt people, because people all of a sudden they're standing there with their hand out and going, okay, even had you given them the 40 acres and a mule concept at that point in time, which was not for the federal government. So here's the real thing. Slavery was a state issue, not a federal government issue. It wasn't even sanctioned by the federal government. They had no authority. The only dog they had in the fight was for taxation purposes, because they did not want to benefit the South, you know, by giving them full representation for their slaves. In other words, they were hurting the South because of the three-fifths rule. Another thing, they also hurt the South with the Constitution, with the 1808 clause in Section 9. Because what that did was it shut down the importation of slaves so that they couldn't, you know, keep on building their slave market here. And what it also did was it shifted migrations of people and who controlled the migrations of people from the state government to the federal government. In the big picture, if you start looking at what happens and the fact that they're talking about reparations in Congress today, this is absolutely repugnant. This is like looking at the fact of, well, maybe we could, you know, get another bone and another benefit again for, you know, for slavery. What should be happening is if they want to talk about reparations, because I've talked about this before, the first nation that owes reparations should be Egypt paying Israel, because Egypt obviously enslaved Israel and they were their slaves for 400 years. Let's see Egypt do that first. Then if you want to talk about reparations, this is not a federal government issue. This is an issue with Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, the southern states that were practicing slavery that demanded they wanted to secede to maintain their slavery. Those are the states that would have to pay reparations if that's the case. It is not for the federal government to be even entertaining. So I kind of give you a lot of different points here. But the point of fact is that this is not a constitutional issue for the federal government. It was a state's right issue. And so the states, Mississippi and the rest, they would have to be coerced. And to me, again, this is all divisive natures. And if you look at what Frederick Douglass was saying, well, just let us go. Let us be free and let us have control of our own lives. If there's anything, there should be charges against those who started creating the Jim Crow laws and the other discriminations after that point. But that's another topic for another day. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.